It was 1995 when the movie Clueless opened in theaters, but 20 years later, it is still one of the most streamed films on Netflix, Amazon Instant Video, and iTunes. And now we have a fantastic look at the making and impact of Clueless as told by the cast and crew in a new book. Of course, it's called As If, written by our pal, pop culture writer Jen Chaney. So Amy Heckerling, Alicia Silverstone, Paul Rudd, Stacey Dash, they all talk to you. Was everyone as open, as fun as you'd hoped?
Yes, although I will say there were some people I wanted to have a little bit more time with than I did, particularly Alicia Silverstone. I had done a piece for Vulture, which is the pop culture vertical for New York Magazine, on just the Val party scene. This was a couple years ago, and that's really what prompted the book to exist. And I spoke to her when I did that piece, and then I got a few more answers from her sort of via email when I was doing the book. But she was the one of everybody that I wished I had the most time with. But Paul Rudd, Stacey, Elisa Donovan, Justin Walker, who plays Christian, Donald Faison, you know, all the people in the cast, Wallace Shawn, they were very generous. And the people on the crew, too. But Amy Heckerling is the one who, this was her baby from beginning to end. And I spent many hours peppering her with increasingly absurd questions.
Well, she wrote and directed and almost didn't get the movie made.
That's right. Originally, this was a TV pilot, actually, for a TV show that she had written for Fox. And then Fox decided, you know, they didn't want to make it as a TV show. Amy's agent, Ken Stovitz, said, you know, maybe this should be a movie, I think. So she wrote it as a movie, basing the sort of narrative structure on Jane Austen's Emma. Fox picked it up as a movie. They started the casting process, and then they just decided they didn't quite want to make it the same way that Amy had in mind. She had to take it out and shop it around again to other studios and other producers. And almost everybody turned it down except for Scott Rudin, who liked it exactly the way that she had it envisioned originally. And so it was Paramount Pictures who ended up making it and obviously having great success with it.
So many enduring aspects of the movie, the language, the fashion. First, with the language, did Amy Heckerling come up with all those fantastic phrases and expressions herself?
In a way, yes, but Amy Heckerling has always been interested in slang, and she's always kept these sort of personal dictionaries, and she looked at all kinds of sources for the language that's in the movie, from, you know, Jive Talk dictionaries, from, you know, the Cab Calloway era to hip-hop music to UCLA has a slang dictionary that they update every few years or so that she pulled a lot of things from. And then from talking to actual students at Beverly Hills High and sort of listening to the way that they talk to each other. So she took a lot of these ideas and then from that invented things herself, too. But yes, it's a very, very quotable movie, to say the least.
And you have all these phrases in a glossary in the book, too.
I do. I asked Amy about a lot of the phrases and sort of where they came from. And one of the things I thought was really fun is the fact that some of the things that Cher says, because, you know, as much as people think of As If and this is sort of Val girl speak, her vocabulary is actually pretty heightened in the movie. There's a scene where she says that her teacher brutally rebuffed her. And Amy Heckerling took that from Wallace Shawn because she and Wallace Shawn are friends and she loves the way that he speaks. And I asked him about that and he had no idea that that's where she got it from. So she was using all kinds of resources for that.
And fashion, of course, is a huge thing. And that's endured as well.
It has. You know, I think when the movie came out, the culture wasn't quite ready for how much interest there was going to be on the part of young girls. Bloomingdale's, you know, one of the sort of leaders at that department store at the time said, you know, I wish we had been kind of more on top of this because everybody wanted the plaid skirts and they all wanted to dress like Cher Horowitz. And I think by the time the TV show got made, that was when they, you know, more of the stores were actually putting that stuff in their stores for girls to buy. But, you know, 15 years later, you were seeing designers really kind of borrowing from the movie, sometimes overtly and saying, this is a clueless skirt or a clueless pair of shoes. And sometimes I think, you know, a lot of the fashion writers, fashion bloggers who are, let's say, young women in their late 20s, early 30s, they see their world, especially their fashion world, through the lens of that movie to the point that anytime they see plaid, they're like, oh, that's they're taking that from Clueless. And so sometimes the designers really are, and sometimes I think it's the fashion writers have no idea. They see everything as Clueless. So well, it's a combination of the two.
As kind of a sidebar thing, Iggy Azalea had a music video that was like totally taken from Clueless.
She did. And I talked to Director X, which is actually his name, who directed Iggy Azalea's video, you know, obviously consulting with her. And that's what she really wanted to do. She wanted to really kind of replicate a lot of scenes from the movie to the point where they even filmed, you know, there are scenes that are take place in the classrooms in that video that are filmed at Grant High School, which is where the classroom scenes in Clueless were also filmed. I mean, they really went hardcore on trying to make that look exactly the way the movie did.
I have to wonder if some of that wasn't lost on some of the audience for the music video.
Well, that's a great question. Although I have to say, as I talk to people while working on the book, I feel that a lot of younger kids now that are discovering the movie, you know, from Netflix and watching it now. I remember talking to one of the members of Luscious Jackson, one of the bands who's on the soundtrack, and she was saying that she has two daughters who are, I'm trying to remember, like 11, you know, in that sort of preteen age, and they love the movie. And one of them was begging her to, you know, buy a Cher Horowitz backpack. I mean, so I think it's one of the reasons that the movie endures is because it still does speak to people who are, you know, going through their teenage years now.
It really does hold up. I mean, it's amazing that it's still so popular as a streamed movie.
Yes. I mean, I think one of the things that I find really delightful about the movie is this idea that narratively, in a lot of ways, it's based on a novel that was first published in 1815. And then it's also very much, in a lot of ways, a 90s movie, just in terms of the references that are made to Marky Mark and Mentos commercials and Ren and Stimpy. People who grew up in that era, you know, there's a lot of nostalgia around it for that reason. But then the things that are in the movie, for example, the cell phone usage and the way that everybody's always answering their phones, or the way that Cher in the beginning of the movie is choosing her outfits on a computer and with a touchscreen. Which in 1995, that seemed insane.
Right.
And that spoke to how wealthy she must be that she would have that kind of technology. But watching it now, I think a kid thinks, oh, okay, that's what my life looks like. And so a lot of these things were sort of happy accidents that kind of predicted the way we live now 20 years before we were actually living that way.
Was Clueless a big movie for you growing up?
Well, I'm a little older than the target demographic was for this movie. So when I saw it, I was a little over a year out of college. And my reaction to it was, I mean, I loved it, but it made me feel the way that I felt watching like the John Hughes movies, which were formative for me growing up in the 80s. And there had been a few years there where we weren't getting, I think, as many kind of teen movies that were mainstream, funny comedies, but that had a great deal of intelligence behind them. They had kind of, in the early 90s, it just wasn't a thing as much anymore. And I think Clueless very much brought it back, so that in the late 90s, there were tons of movies again for teens. They really went after that market very, very aggressively, Hollywood did.
What are some of the cool stories that you got from cast and crew and Amy Heckerling?
Oh, gosh, there's so many. One of my favorites came from Jace Alexander, who is the son of Jane Alexander, who is a, you know, esteemed actress, and he is an actor as well. He's now a producer primarily and filmmaker. He was cast as the mugger in the movie, the guy who holds up Cher and says an Alaya and a Wada, that scene. And he was cast in that role literally the same day because the guy who was supposed to play the part couldn't make it to set for whatever reason. And Scott Rudin and the casting director, they're making phone calls, and Scott Rudin had met with Jace just by happenstance on another issue the day before. He called him on his car phone, which of course was like a big brick.
Right.
And asked him if he could possibly be in this movie. And Jace Alexander said, well, I have a play I'm directing tonight. I'm not sure. He's like, when do you need me on the set? And Scott Rudin said, well, now, kind of now. And he said, well, where is it being shot? And it just so happened that where they were shooting that scene was just a few blocks from where Jace Alexander was in his car when he happened to pick up the phone. So he just went right to set, didn't know what he was. I mean, he knew he was going to be a mugger, and that's about it, and was handed the lines. Said, yeah, that costume looks okay. Just go in there and do it. And that scene is really, I think, a pretty memorable scene from the movie. And he told me that people still recognize him for that every day of his life.
That's funny.
Just that little scene.
This was not a big budget movie.
No, it was, I mean, around $13 million or so was the budget, which sounds like a lot of money to you and me, but for a Hollywood movie, that's pretty modest, yeah.
It made a lot of money, though. In today's dollars, it was the equivalent of over $100 million, I think.
Right, right. So, and it's, you know, continues to make money for the studio through not only people watching it, renting it, buying it now, but also all the merchandise. There eventually was a lot of merchandise. And in fact, I was just in Montgomery Mall not that long ago, and they had Clueless merchandise like in one of the windows of the stores there.
Wow.
So they're bringing it all back because they know it still resonates with people.
And you have one story of they had to shut down production for a couple of days, I guess, because Alicia Silverstone was exhausted or sick or something.
Yeah, she got sick a couple of times. Once early in the production, right before they were shooting November, December of 1994, and right before the holidays, she was sick. And then at a later date, she got sick too. It's not uncommon for that to happen, but you know, she's in every frame of the movie, and she was working really, really long hours. And so I think at times she was getting a little bit exhausted. And in fact, a couple people told me stories about how in between takes, she would kind of power nap. And like just kind of close her eyes. And if you remember the scene where she's taking her driving test pretty disastrously, Ron Orbach, the actor who plays the Messiah of the DMV, he's very funny, very talented guy. And he was telling me that when he was shooting that scene, she would just kind of close her eyes every time they said cut. And he was like, does she have narcolepsy? Like, what's going on? And when he finally asked her about it during their lunch break, she said, you know, I'm working so much that I've realized I have to grab my naps whenever there's downtime so that I can keep my energy up. And he was really actually kind of impressed by that because it was a very strategic way to kind of keep her energy up. And every time they said, you know, action, he said she was on point. She was hitting her line. She was like perfect. So
nice.
She knew what she was doing.
This movie did launch a lot of careers.
Well, certainly Silverstone's was, I think, the biggest launch out of the gate because she was obviously the star and she got, you know, a big movie deal after that. She ended up being in one of the Batman movies, which unfortunately did not succeed.
But she was Batgirl.
But she was. But she was in it. And then, of course, Paul Rudd, I think, is really, at this point, maybe the biggest success story. He's about to become, speaking of superheroes, Ant-Man. And he's obviously been in a lot of very successful films. It took him a little bit of time after Clueless. It's not like he was right out of the gate.
Right.
He moved back to New York and started doing theater and just was trying to figure out, get his footing in terms of what he wanted to do next. But he was great to talk to. Just really, really wonderful.
Oh, that's good. What else do you love about the book and what you got out of it?
I just love talking to all the people involved in it. And a lot of the people involved in it who you don't normally get to hear from, people like Bill Pope, who's the director of photography, incredibly smart, funny guy. He's been the director of photography on movies like The Matrix and the Spider-Man movies that Sam Raimi made. And yet he remembers this as being one of the most joyful filmmaking experiences that he's ever had. And everybody said that. And it sounds like, you know, sure, everybody says it was a great experience. But people really, I could tell when they were talking about it, they just had just a real fondness for that period of time when they were working on the movie. I think it's a really happy movie. And I think that's why people like watching it over and over again. And even the people who worked on it seem to remember it in that way.
I feel like Amy Heckerling would be a fun person.
She is a fun person. She's a more sardonic person than you might think. She's a very kind of dry, and she's very modest person too. And if anything, I hope the book reminds people of what a really amazing filmmaker and just kind of a genius mind that she has, because she's still making movies. She's still working. And in fact, she's been working on a musical version of Clueless that is hopefully going to be on Broadway very soon. But I would love to see her making more movies again.
You clearly loved the movie Clueless. You must have had a blast writing this book.
Yeah, it was definitely a lot of fun. The other story I was going to tell was about how Paul Rudd almost got shot.
Paul Rudd almost got shot?
Yes. He was shot at, which is ironic considering the fact that Cher gets mugged in the movie at gunpoint. He was having dinner with a friend in Los Angeles, and this was during, you know, production of the movie, and walked outside to go to his car, and a mugger came and held him up. And he didn't really have much to give him. And the guy, as Paul recalled, fired a gun sort of right by the bullet, like whizzed by Paul Rudd's head, didn't hit him, didn't hit anybody else. So no one was injured. But obviously a pretty scary moment. And the guy ended up taking Paul Rudd's backpack, which had his Clueless script in it with all of his notes. So that was kind of a bummer because he had to be on set the next day. And the next day was when they were shooting the scene at the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones party. And Paul Rudd just remembered, you know, I was on set, you know, 12 hours later or whatever, dancing at a party, and I almost got shot the night before. So that was kind of an interesting story to hear.
Wow.
You know, I'm not sure if that influenced his decision to move to New York right after he finished production on the movie or not. But thank God Paul Rudd did not get hit by that bullet. America would have been, I mean, we would have lost so much without him.